Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, Russ, for the score in Chicago. The Danny Parkins Show.
Please tell for local talk show host Danny Parkins.
Afternoons on the Score.
Give people a recommendation of something to watch this weekend without the Bears, Speaks.
Oh, something.
What have you been enjoying?
How about football?
Football. Football. What's a football? With unconscious will, my voice squeaked out.
Football.
Henry, get free. Take it in overtime.
No Bears to dissect in terms of watching around the NFL. A higher quality of football, perhaps.
Off the fake to Sanders. He's the release, but an off-target throw is intercepted by Sione Takitaki. Pick six to the house for the Browns.
Enjoy Sunday with no Bears and a lot of football.
Ben is in the backfield by himself. Wide side to his right. He gets the snap, throws it long down the near sideline. Chase Claypool with a diving grab for a touchdown for Claypool, the rookie out of Notre Dame.
The Dallas Cowboys have beaten the Minnesota Vikings, stopping a three-game winning streak, stopping a four-game losing streak for the Cowboys, who proved victorious out of the bye.
Here's the snap and the placement. Swing to the right leg, and the kick is right down the boulevard. It is good, and the Indianapolis Colts in overtime have defeated the Green Bay Packers 34-31. It's a beautiful
day. No dogs, no cats, and no Bears.
This is the greatest day of my life.
Man, you're so funny, man.
The Danny Parkin Show.
That's what all the kids listen to you, man. You are the best thing on the radio!
Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Wishing you a good evening. And hopefully that Chris Tannehill Open kicks it off in a beautiful way here in the 5 o'clock hour. Matt Spiegel and Ryan McGuffey here on the Parkins Show today. It really was a beautiful day, man. You had Taysom Hill and the New Orleans-Atlanta game on one channel. If you're just a local, take yourself just as a local Chicagoan or Chicago area human yesterday. Taysom Hill and the Saints on one channel, Ravens and Titans on the other. And then an island afternoon game with the game of the week on Fox being the Packers and the Colts. And then a terrific Sunday night game with the Chiefs and the Raiders. That's a lot of really good, essentially free football that you're not paying Red Zone for or an extra sports package for or going out to a bar because you can't anyway and spend a lot on beer and chicken wings and such. This was a really good time watching football, and the Bears were not there to sully it for any of us, Ryan.
It's like a pre-Thanksgiving treat you had right there. It's going to be better than anything that we get on Thanksgiving, probably, and certainly probably better than the Sunday night game, as we've been talking about. Yeah, I mean, those are about the four best games of the week, right? I mean, sometimes like it doesn't always work out that way, that the game of the week ends up being the game of the week.
No, it doesn't work out that way, no.
I mean, you had the Titans and Ravens go overtime. Right. And then you had the whole just the curiosity of Taysom Hill behind under center was enough to tune that game in. And then you had, of course, the perfect Sunday night capper with I'll watch Patrick Mahomes play anybody, but to have a back and forth game like that against the Raiders was phenomenal.
Just awesome stuff. So, you know, we enjoyed all that. We dealt with all that, talked about all of that in our pre-show conversation at around 12:30. And then Jed Hoyer spoke, and it was kind of a surprise because we weren't sure whether he was going to speak today or tomorrow. And you don't really need to tell people that far in advance these days because you're not clearing out time and space to get over to Wrigley or anything. So, you know, if you were working today, you might not realize that Jed Hoyer spoke today and Tom Ricketts did. And I felt bad for Jed Hoyer a little bit, just in the same way that I felt bad for high school kids who've missed their prom or their graduation ceremonies because of COVID, because Jed has clearly been waiting for a long time for this day that he had today. There was a level of awkwardness, actually, to Jed talking about finally getting to be a boss and getting to do it here. I mean, he was a boss in San Diego briefly, but he's been in Theo's shadow, as he put it, for 17 years working with Theo. And so he commented on Theo. He thanked him. He said a lot of interesting things there and then talked about the coronation. It was a little bit awkward, wasn't it?
It was very awkward, and maybe that's because we've just gotten so used to just the Zoom world we live in. I mean, I was in a weird way cringing it sometimes, like when he was like thanking his parents, and I'm like, wait, but he deserves to do, like, he wouldn't do that normally pre-COVID. Like, it was a celebratory moment with your family and friends. You got to the top. I mean, you are the top of the food chain now. You've earned every right to think, and I guess I just didn't expect it. I just thought we were going to get right into baseball stuff and, you know, maybe a little hat tip to Theo. But even that was thought out, well written. And he gave us a little inside behind the curtain about some of the things they shared together, which I thought was funny. But then as we talked about it, and as we were doing the radio show here, it was like, you know what? Like, it makes all the sense in the world. It just feels awkward, and it almost felt unnecessary, but that's not fair to Jed. It's not fair to anybody having these moments right now. It's not.
Yeah, right. He's trying to like make it somewhat of the moment, that kind of coronation moment. But it felt a little like, I've had somebody said eighth grade graduation, that it felt a little like that. Somebody else texted me and said it sounded like a wedding speech, you know, for like the big batch of friends. That the first guy got married, you know, and, you know, he's leaving the nest. It kind of had that vibe.
It definitely
a little
had
bit
that
to
vibe.
But it was
like a Zoom wedding. So like any joke you were going to make or any emotional thought, it wasn't going to translate because it was all over Zoom. But even the handshake he wanted, he even mentioned about wanting the handshake with Tom that he couldn't do.
He's been dreaming of it his whole life, man.
Yeah, you're right. No, he deserved the moment, and I think he handled it quite honestly better than I even could think of, because he knew the moment was worth that celebratory comment. Well, yeah. Comments, and
all
I
right.
thought he nailed it.
And then as Jed Hoyer went on, we got a little bit of a window into, I think, the direction and the reality of what they're facing. Theo Epstein leaves. Jed Hoyer, it was announced today, signs a 5-year extension or a 5-year contract to be the guy. So he's got 5 years here to do some stuff, and they've got some stuff to do. Here's a couple of cuts from Jed that we think give you an actual window into the realities of the situation and what's going to be coming. This is the Cubs' eye will be partially, at least, on the future.
Well, first of all, I would start by saying that, you know, we have a great team. You know, we have a team that won the division last year. Obviously, the playoffs have not gone as we hoped, you know, in two of the last 3 years. But ultimately, the goal every year is to give ourselves a chance, and that's not going to change. I think in this job, you always have, you know, one eye on the present and one eye on the future. And I think the truth is that, you know, given the service time realities that I mentioned, I think that eye might be a little bit more focused towards the future than usual. But that doesn't take away from the goal. And like I said, the goal is always to make the playoffs and give this organization a chance to go deep in October.
So that strikes me as the kind of careful two-sided way of talking about something that you have to do. It reminds me of Theo saying every season is sacred at the beginning when you knew that they were actually going to lose for a couple years, and it wasn't really sacred. And, you know, there's an extra eye on the future. That's the reality of it. Remember, man, Theo left, and it was in the first line of his letter and the first line of what he said at his press conference that some big changes are going to be coming to the organization. And whoever's doing that deserves to be here to stick around, and that guy is Jed and not Theo.
Yeah, and the difference is it's been those big changes have been talked about for the last two off seasons, and now you know they're going to happen. And the question is who, what, and where. And you mentioned early in the show that you thought 2.5 was a fair over-under for the five core players to be dealt or gone, like non-tendered, whatever, this offseason. And I would cautiously bet the over. And the more I've thought about it, I like the over a lot.
Man.
Yeah. And like it. Yeah. But, you know, it's just a weird time to do it. You know?
It's a weird time to do it because of the state of the market and because Correct. Of the years these guys are coming off of. Those guys that they've talked about contract extensions with before, we know they took a stab at it with Bryant. We know they took a stab at it with Baez and thought they were getting kind of close with Baez. Jed was asked about ongoing contract extension talks with the core.
As far as extension talks, we have none ongoing right now. But certainly we have players on this roster that we'd love to have here for a long time. So, at some point in the future, I think we'll probably pick those up. But right now, there's nothing ongoing.
Okay, so that could partially be due to COVID realities, but it's just awkward to hear when you've known they've been wanting to lock up those guys for years. A little more from Jed Hoyer. Says the goal is indeed to compete in 2021.
You know, we've had an excellent team for 6 years, but with that run and the inability to get extensions on our guys, I think there come some realities. And so we do have to keep an eye on the future, but given the talent on the roster and given the fact that we were able to win the division despite some underperformance, I think the goal still has to be, to win the division. But yes, I do think we have to look at the pipeline. I'm really proud of the stuff we've done in scouting player development. I think that, certainly the lower levels of our minor leagues are really improving rapidly. But to continue to build that pipeline is something that's going to be critically important for the next few years.
Can I ask you about that one, Spiegel?
Yeah.
Inability to get extensions on our guys. Because I think there's just an assumption that the front office should be either the group that gets the praise or the blame in situations like this. And what happened here is some agents and some players got fat and happy quickly after 15 and 16. And so they set their own market for probably higher than what it's worth, which put the team in a really bad situation. And it's put the players in a bad situation, too, because I don't think any of these guys are going to get what they want or
no,
thought they
I think
were going to get.
That's absolutely true. Bryant and Boris were licking their chops and looking forward to next offseason. And Bryant's going to need a hell of a year to get anywhere close to the Bryce Harper-type money that he was thinking of and dreaming
of. He's not getting that. Come on. He's not getting $200 million. Do you see Chris Bryant getting $200
million? No. No, mm-hmm. I don't. As of right now, I don't. And it's insane. It really is insane from both sides of the perspective, how they got here, to your point. Absolutely. I mean, think about it. Like everything they did to try and delay the service time by one offseason so they could have one more offseason. They could use it as leverage all throughout, either in a trade if it ever came to that. Hey, you got 3 years of this guy, not just two. Or go back to Bryant. Hey, we're buying out 3 years of arbitration, not just two, as they tried to do all of that. Here we are at the final moment of that final offseason, that extra offseason you did it all for, and you have to deal him. You have to deal him, and everybody knows you have to deal him. That's why the rumors that came out the other day of the Nationals being interested, that is the dream profile. Yeah. That is exactly what you want, is a team like that who has a farm system, has young players of consequence, wants to win in a competitive division, has motivated ownership, that has shown a desire and an ability to throw around money. That is exactly what you want. And you need more than one of them. You probably need two or three of them to drive your market to where it 100%. Needs to be.
And with the national situation, you have rival ownership saying, we're spending. We don't give a damn about any of you.
Yes.
So that, like that, having the Mets involved actually plays. It's almost like having two teams involved, just with Washington all by themselves.
Absolutely. And how about Atlanta, who's been rumored for Bryant as well? And Atlanta obviously is a very good team trying to get over the hump. So, yeah, I mean, and the Phillies, who have motivated ownership. I would just go and in that division, within that division, and just fight.
Just one against the other. Yep. Window dress for three-day weekends at each location saying, look what we got, the 2016 MVP, and he's ready to come ready to make a home here. I really am glad that Jed said that, inability to get extensions on our guys, because I do think it takes some of the spotlight. And he's not trying to take some of the heat off of the front office, but it's not for lack of want or will or desire that the Cubs front office tried to lock these guys up. Even guys like Wilson Contreras, every one of these guys got fat and happy. And I think if things were differently, and look, at the end of 2016, if I would have said how many more World Series appearances will this Cubs team have, what would you have said? Not championships.
World Series appearances. I probably would have had my head over my skis and said two more appearances, one more win, two more appearances.
You felt strong one more.
Yep, I did. Yeah. I thought, and they went for it hard. They did go
for it. I thought they were more like the 17, 18, 19 Dodgers than like this version that's still going and still adding. I thought that for sure. There was no doubt in my mind that the Cubs were going to at least one more World Series.
Because they had pieces in the system. We had just seen them trade Glaber for Aroldis Chapman, and we knew that, but we still knew Eloy Jimenez was there. He was either going to get to play. They still had Jorge Soler, you know, so they trade Soler for Wade Davis. I'm like, all right, there we go. You give yourself not Aroldis, but pretty damn close for the next year. And then they really screwed up with two big things. And one thing happened that really, you know, when they write the book, the Quintana trade was really, really bad because he wasn't good enough and because they gave up so much capital that they could have given up 2 months later for Justin Verlander instead, or 1 month later. I mean, that you're going to look back on that and say, man, because you could have done Eloy and Cease for Verlander. They still could have got Verlander even after that deal.
I don't think it would have taken. I think you could have gotten Verlander. I've said this many times. I think Verlander could have been a Cub for Dylan Cease and you taking the cash. I think Eloy could have still been on the team. I really believe that.
Man.
Eloy still could have been a Cub. Cease would have been the main piece going to Detroit, and you're taking $50 million.
Cease and a couple others.
Taking $50 million back in Justin Verlander.
Because the value was Quintana's contract. Was like, oh, look at this. This is what you're getting back. This is why we need more, because that contract is just going to be gravy. So we're going to look back on that. Yeah, there you go. We're going to look back on that one in a big, big way, and we're going to look back on Yu Darvish being a complete broken mess for a season right in the middle of their winning possible window.
And then he put a fence up in his house in Evanston and blocked out the haters. And that's what it turned around.
Yeah. It really did, actually. That is exactly,
what it turned around.
When the fence went up, everything changed.
And everybody got mad at him. Hey, you're blocking our views of Lake Michigan, Mr. Pitcher.
Yeah, and he became a Cy Young finalist in a 60-game season. It all worked out.
They should have led with the fence, is what you're saying? They should have like given him a house with a fence? That's their fault for not scouting. You know?
Now, I will say this.
Scout the guy right.
For people who say it's a failure, it's just mind-boggling to me. Because Theo, everything, if we pull back that opening press conference he had, everything he said happened.
They didn't get it done in the go for it again period.
You mentioned
17,
it early though.
4 years. 4 years of the ability to just keep going and keep going. Hell, they made the Kimbrel trade. That's one more going for it, but it was desperation at that point.
Great
the
Darvish architect. Hall of Fame architect.
Sure.
But needs to hire a maintenance company, you know, like that you mentioned, like the maintenance part of it just didn't add up. And those are the high, there's so many examples. I mean, Tyler Chatwood, we could find 100 million like that. That's
what's sad. It's that one year. Brandon Morrow was a whiff, and he had just pitched in every World Series game. And a bunch of people say, you know, he's going to break down, and he's broken down before, and there he did. So Morrow, Chatwood, and Darvish.
There are things out of their control. Addison Russell, out of their control. Like, you got the next Barry Larkin, right? And look what happened with that. The best year he had was 2016, and it went miserably bad from there.
How about the timing of that? If Glaber had been ready instead of Russell, and they use Glaber and trade Russell for Chapman, entirely possible.
Oh yeah,
right. That just the time, like, and the way that Addison Russell was thought of, yes, but he had a big homer in L.A. during that NLCS. That was a big part. Theo referenced it in his letter, like they played a perfect game in Los Angeles there. All right, one more quick cut from earlier today. This is Tom Ricketts, because people have been wondering about the money part in terms of the landmark status that was just given to Wrigley Field. It comes with some tax advantages. Will those have an effect on the baseball payroll?
Unfortunately, no. The historic tax credits will not have an impact in any way on our baseball budget. It was all part of the stadium redesign financing plan that has played out for the last 7 years, and it doesn't have any current impact for us. So I wish I could get tax credits and give them to baseball players, but I can't. But the second question is a good point. Part of the reason that it's so hard to think about what our budget is going to be for 21 is we just don't know what the situation is going to be. Are we going to be able to have fans? Are we going to start on time? It's very, very fluid, and we'll just take the information as we get it and make the best assessment as we go and try to put as much as we can into winning on the field.
It's Tom Ricketts giving you some of his choices and some of the realities. Like any live event business, the Cubs had gotten used to a model where they paid up to what they knew their income was going to be because they banked on it. I mean, I know bar owners, I know venue owners who lived this way financially and are now having to rewrite how they do business if they're lucky enough to reopen. The Cubs have to rewrite how they do business. That's why this is so cumbersome. It's why it's so awkward. It's a big job, and Jed gets 5 years to do it while Theo flitters away into relaxation land.
And not just that, this is, they're rewriting how to do it, not for just 2021, but 2021 and moving forward, because for that 5 year duration of Jed's contract, things aren't going to be as they were. You're talking about figuring out things in 2023 to make things that happened in 2020 and 2021 work. So you've already laid off dozens of employees, and all. So the chess game is just starting, unfortunately, not just for the Cubs, but for, you know, businesses and bars, and you mentioned all over the place. Everyone's trying to get back to square one to figure out what the next 5 years looks like, what the next 2 years look like.
Yeah, that's why it was really weird in this context to see the NBA throwing around hundreds of millions of dollars for all kinds of people, because they're like, well, we got a season. It's going to be starting. Let's go ahead and get in and get out, as Steve Ashburner told us earlier in the show. It is the Parkins Show. It's me, Matt Spiegel. It's him, Ryan McGuffey. We have the fraternal activities of Theo Epstein on the way out that Ryan was reading about and kind of delving into a little bit. And we have a music anniversary that Shane and Ryan are embracing that they need to explain to me next on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I agreed to even put that music in my freaking ears.
Some Why say you I... accreed to it.
Well done.
No, that was bad.
Nobody
was bad.
Would say that.
No, nobody said Whereas, that.
You know what I realized he sounds like, by the way? He sounds like Indiana coach Tom Allen after a game.
Can you take me higher?
That's what I'm saying. It's not that far off.
We love really Scott Stopp here.
There's a lot of fun when we play.
Why? Awful. They insult every bit of my musical sensibilities, my business sensibilities, my radio sensibilities, all of it. And yet, you like them, Shane? Do I have that right?
Yeah, I don't mind Creed at all. I think they're a great go-to for karaoke.
Great.
A great go-to for karaoke, not Got a great you. Band. They're a Pearl okay. Jam knockoff. They're yeah. fun. It's Timing. Fun to drunk impersonate Creed. And today is the 19-year anniversary of them randomly playing a Cowboys-Broncos halftime show with, like, aerobatics and dudes hanging from blankets in the sky. Just at a Bronco, not even the Super Bowl. Just no. Broncos-Cowboys.
It's just a regular season game.
I think it was Thanksgiving, but yeah. just a regular season game.
All right, yeah, well, Thanksgiving.
Today's the 19-year anniversary of that, and I told Tandy when he walked in today at, like, 1:30, guy barely works. I was like, there's no way we can finish the show today without mentioning today is the 19-year anniversary of Creed playing Broncos-Cowboys.
I appreciate it. It's timing, Speaks. You mentioned timing earlier with other things about whether it's athletes or good time in my life, like college years, Creed. Like it just puts you, Shane, I could picture you like when the song came on in the bar. Just like you kind Hell of stop yeah. for a second. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah,
like
Trader Todd's, Belmont and Sheffield. That's my go-to karaoke spot. And if I'm not the one singing it, somebody else is, man, I'm belting it with them because one Creed guy's got to stand there with another Creed guy. Everybody knows that.
They just
Speaks, I understand your frustration.
Do you understand it? I don't think you do. I don't think you do. I don't think you do. I don't think you understand what they embody, what they freaking embolden. It's the end. It ended something which started very beautiful and very hopeful, which was the return of like some heavy, edgy rock and roll with Nirvana and Pearl Jam and that Seattle sound and the Smashing Pumpkins and Loud Lucy and all this stuff that was happening here in Chicago at the time. And like, so it came and then it got eaten alive and swallowed by payola and by, you know, bad radio stations and by the machinery until it eventually got spat back out to us in the form of Creed and all these other bands that were just like shiny but soulless, pale imitations of the original. And they knew it. They knew it, and they were totally arrogant and like, oh, we're gaming the system. They were arrogant jackasses, knew they were gaming the system, and he was singing like some third-rate Jim Morrison knockoff that got interpolated through Vedder and then back to him, and I just, oh, I hated everything that they represented and embodied completely.
I'm so glad that you guys are here today. If Parkins was here, he would have made me save that for 6:05, like my softball segments, but I was able to slip Creed Anniversary in today without Danny here.
Here's the thing. I got one more comment on that.
Were you completely unaffected? Hold on, Sheen. Were you completely unaffected by everything I just said?
Yeah, I wasn't listening. I chose not to listen.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed by what you just said, because as a person who grew up loving that entire group of people you just mentioned, from Pearl Jam to Smashing Pumpkins to somebody else, Stone Temple Pilots, to the entire era, I just thought it was like a I just took it as what it was. Baton handoff time. You already hooked me. I'm in. I didn't see it in the moment like you did, as a bunch of guys taking a carbon copy ripoff, knowing it in the time, capitalizing on it, being jagbags in the moment. We just kind of looked at it as like the next karaoke song. Let's rock. And like My Sacrifice and those things, they rocked in the moment. The rest of the album, which was normally complete crap, proved to be.
I get it. Look, yeah. And I understand. And you were there. And it's, and you know, and people like music in different ways. I totally get it. And we all come at it from different places. But here's the thing. It reminds me a lot. You know what? You know that people like hate the Eagles? There's some people in music who hate the Eagles, and the whole like Big Lebowski, I hate the freaking Eagles. You know why? Because the Eagles did to Laurel Canyon beautiful folk rock, country folk rock with harmonies. That's what the Eagles did to that is exactly what Creed did to Nirvana and the Seattle sound, is that they were the end result, the commodified, overproduced, just completely making millions and millions off of selling the pristine version of the thing. But the Eagles' music has actually aged pretty well.
E-A-G-A-L-E-S.
It's aged pretty well to the point that you can kind of hear it and be like, all right, I understand, I get it. But the Creed songs have not aged well.
Yeah, but you can't tell me that you haven't greeted somebody with arms wide open or wanted to take them higher. You can't tell me that you've never done that. Fair question also from the 630. What do you think of the Foo Fighters along the, that same ilk?
Come on.
Hey, man, the Foo Fighters have lived and survived and thrived through the entire run. They're one of the rare ones. It's pretty amazing. Listen to that first Foo Fighters. Man, listen to that first Foo Fighters record. Is freaking great when all of a sudden Dave Grohl gets to go out front. I love that first Foo Fighters record, and I like Everlong. I like a lot of those songs. And then they just kind of kept going, and they still retain the old school cred because they have it. They're the same freaking guys, and they love it.
And I don't know if that texter, I don't know if the texter was hating on the Foo Fighters or loving on the Foo Fighters, but I'd tell that texter, see Foo Fighters live. Then you make your decision.
And Dave Grohl is one of the most versatile musicians in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. and he's a smart guy and a thoughtful guy, and he actually has a pretty damn small ego for everywhere that he's been in the world.
And this same line of thinking, I do not hate Nickelback.
Oh my God!
Okay. I think Photograph is a decent song.
Oh,
all right, now you got me. You had me.
It's the same thing, man. It's the same exact, except that's Metallica. That like they took Metallica and perfected / disgusted / perverted / ruined it.
You can have Nickelback, man.
Oh,
His face is great. Chad, whatever his face is, Chad Kroeger. I think he's great.
Oh my God, Shane.
He shows perseverance.
Talk softball.
605.
I'd rather you talk softball. Yeah, what happened the other day? Because Parkins was really thrilled that you weren't here the other day, so we could talk about you going, I believe, 0-3 and then having a terrible error.
They made that up because Will Perdue texted me and asked me what I went in the first game, and I told him I went 3-for-3 with 4 RBIs and 2 doubles. I told him that, but then some moron listener tweeted me and said, hey, heard you went 0-for-3 with 2 errors, you idiot. It didn't happen. We won the first game and lost the second. In the we won the quarterfinal, lost the semifinal, or
you
the other way around. Whatever.
Tom Allen on your team. That's the problem. You didn't get Tom Allen.
You know, my music snobbery. my music snobbery has really been put to bed in large parts because I've grown up. I'm a little wiser. I'm a little calmer. My wife loves country music. I used to rip and rail on modern country music. I now understand what she loves about it, and I there's plenty. So that's overall, it's relaxed me. But you freaking knighted me with this Creed
crap. I'm glad.
And your Nickelback business
because
they perverted something wonderful. Something wonderful.
The one thing I'll say is it hasn't aged well. I'll buy that. All right, I will buy.
Yeah,
I will buy.
All right,
that's all I'm doing.
I always think of the White Stripes when I think of Jed Hoyer and Theo Epstein. Do you know that? I do, because that album with Seven Nation Army on it and a bunch of others, like Jed always tells the story, and Theo did too for a while, about how that first whatever year that is, they were in spring training for the Red Sox. And they were realizing, oh, my God, we get to run a baseball team. And they were just, they were kids drinking, partying, playing poker till late in the night in that house that they all shared, Hoyer and McLeod and Theo and all those dudes. And then they would, like, sober up as best they could, drink some coffee in the morning, and listen to that album every day on their way to the ballpark. So, and you know, so I've been thinking about the whole, like, kind of, the fraternal relationship that they had, and then Guff, you read the Athletic piece that I knew was there, but I hadn't had a chance to read until you pointed it out today, from Patrick Mooney and Sahadev Sharma, on the Theo Jed years, and really the Theo years, and the kind of fraternal take that he brought to it, and the vibe he brought to it in terms of late nights. You dug
it. What did I tell you? I read the whole, like, if you haven't read it, and you can. It's a paywall, yes, but it's worth it because it's amazing to see how Theo treats the people that he works with. Like, I took that, it's clear that he's a great leader. There's proof of it. There's tangible proof of that. But how he treats the guys behind the scenes that nobody knows, and how he does it in ways that, like, most guys in their 20s, 30s, and 40s just completely envy, playing basketball at the biggest arenas at late night because they're on the road playing the Giants and they have no control over the game. So what do we do? Let's call Oracle and get in there and shoot some hoops where Steph Curry does. Yeah. Or the rooftop party that John Lester had with Eddie Vedder after clinching the pennant, and then deciding at 5 a.m., hey, we're going to the bars. Oh, Theo, they're closed. Oh, we're going to Wrigley. And then having the security guards recognize them and let them in so they can throw BP at each other drunk till the sun came up. Amazing, incredible stuff and stories from the people who worked with Theo for the last 9 years. I got a really good appreciation for the guy and for how he treats people, how people should be treated as you work your way up the ladder. And Speaks, I believe you were the cause of some of my envy. You were at one of these events.
Well, I was at one that was music related with the Hot Stove Cool Music.
Oh, good point. You did see it on display.
Yeah. Well, but to your point on, like, he was hyper competitive in all of those, like, pickup basketball situations, in, like, tennis matches. He wasn't even very good at tennis. Neither was Scott Harris.
Who's
now the GM of the San Francisco Giants. But they were, like, hyper competitive, and he would go at people. I love the story from David Rawson there about how they would play these soccer games in Mesa. And he's like, oh, man, these are going to be fun. I can't wait to be part of it. And then he realized, man, I got to get good. These guys are good, and they're running really hard. He was dying. He's like, I got to get in shape if I'm going to be doing this. Because Theo took everything super seriously.
Well, they're running the stairs at Notre Dame Stadium.
Yeah.
And I forgot who he took the selfie with that he worked
Jared
with.
Jared Porter. Been with the Red Sox and then the Cubs, yeah.
Jared Porter knew within two up and downs of the stairs that he wasn't fit for the situation. But Theo knew it and recognized it and takes a selfie with Notre Dame Stadium in the background with them running the stairs, and then sends it to all of the guys to say, look at Porter, he can't hack this, as a sign of that ultra competitiveness at all times. That's how Theo's brain was working.
Yeah, and that's just who he was, and they all kind of dug it. Yeah, the one that I was a part of, I mean, there were a couple times, but, like, the one that in Boston, and they reference it there, when it's Cubs Red Sox in 2017, and both World Series trophies are there. I was on stage singing when Theo sent the trophies out into the freaking crowd, and their stage, you know, and there's, like, the World Series trophies are getting passed around the crowd. I was on stage for that, and singing backup for Vedder and stuff. But then that night,
you dropped a name real quick.
Yeah, that was, you know,
singing backup for Vedder and that stuff.
Well,
okay,
it's true. What are you gonna do? It's just true. So then, but that night, there was a post-gig party that that was awesome. And then that post-gig party got shut down, so we all went to a hotel suite. Somebody's hotel suite. Must have been Theo's. I don't know. It was gigantic. And that kept going and going and going. And then that got shut down. And just like Len Casper says in that article, like Theo was never the guy saying that's enough. We went and found another place. So the after party was in the kitchen of this hotel in Boston. They like opened the kitchen and let us do it. And just like people walking around, Theo and Vetter and a whole bunch of others. And like when that dude lets loose, he lets freaking loose, which
and takes
right
care
about
of
there.
The people, but he takes care of the people alongside. Absolutely. And that to me was one of the gems of the piece.
Absolutely. It's 670 The Score. It's Spiegs and Ryan McGuffey in on the Parkins Show. We'll wrap this baby up next.
I shut it down.
Ryan McGuffey, you're fun to work with, man. Appreciate you.
Hey, man. Both sides, baby. I love it, too. This is great. You're a fun Good. Guy to work with, too. Shane, you're all right, too, man. Tanny, you're the best.
Oh, okay.
I asked Shane earlier today how much of his annoyance and just, you know, his willingness to be that guy and how much is just real. And I don't know. Maybe that number moves around.
I said 90-10 being real, 10 being fake. I don't know if that came off wrong in the show call, but this is me. You get who you get. I got no filter, and I'm happy
to do it. If you have any leftovers, by the way, if you have any Thanksgiving leftovers, Shane, I'll pick them up, bud.
I'll think about it. I remember what you said about me like 45 seconds ago, so I'm like a little iffy on that, but
I know Shane's gonna be on with Bernsie.
I don't know if you got my tone.
Shane's gonna be on with Bernsie on Wednesday for a special Thanksgiving edition of Shane's Meat. I know that.
10:20.
10:20 a.m. on Wednesday. This has been the Parkins Show with me, Matt Spiegel, and M. Ryan McGuffey. Thank you to our guest today, Steve Ashburner from NBA.com. Thank you to Boomer Esiason for his weekly Monday hit when he said that he would go with Mitch. If all things were equal, both guys were healthy, he would go with Mitch. And thank you to Mark Grody as well for all his Bears information and more. Coming up next on The Score, you will hear Jed Hoyer in his entirety from earlier today as he met the media, he and Tom Ricketts, to discuss day one of the Jed Hoyer regime with the Cubs. And after that, it's Monday Night Football. Have a great day, everybody. Parkins back tomorrow. Me and Danny tomorrow and Wednesday. Guff, thanks again, man. Talk to you soon. Have a great day,
thanks,
everybody.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.